going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at RealCodyMallory. Once again, joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar, on Twitter, that's at Anthony Dittmar _, and Joe Farrow, on Twitter, that's at the Joe Farrow. What's going on, guys?
What's good, bro? What a win today. What a win last night against the Knicks, like yesterday afternoon, I would say. Like, Kevin Durant's just insane. He'd be the MVP of the NBA if he never got injured. I'll leave it at that.
Facts.
Yeah. Everybody with any kind of a brain that knows basketball knows that KD is the MVP if he didn't get injured. But man, just incredible performance yesterday. It was electric when Kyrie Irving entered the building. It was like, yep. That shit was awesome to see.
Yeah, and then Kyrie Irving after the game was on the court with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I was like a little FU to Eric Adams. It's like, I got to pay for courtside seats. I can't even sit with the team, but I'm allowed in the locker room.
Since we kind of got started on it, let's discuss the Kyrie situation before we go into the actual game. Like you just said, so yeah, sure. He came walking in. I think it was the second quarter when he got shown walking into his seats.
There was like 5 minutes left in the second quarter when Kyrie started getting to his seat.
I mean, it was reported by Shams, and then Steve Nash said it, and then Malika Andrews said it right before the game, that he was purchased seats to watch the game. Technically, he did, but his family has season tickets courtside directly across from the Nets bench. So he was sitting in those seats. But it was weird to see. And then he was able to go into the locker room with his teammates at halftime and after the game, but he's not able to play. Then you had Andre Drummond posting on Instagram about it. You had Kevin Durant, obviously, kind of attacking the mayor a little bit.
He called him a clown.
In his post-game presser, he was like, figure it out, Eric, or something like that. So, I mean, the Nets were quiet about this issue for quite some time, but no more.
See, I think everybody's in the same boat, though, because it's like you hear that Kyrie can't play, but he could be in the building. But then finding out he purchased tickets and he's sitting courtside with his family, and then he goes into the locker room, and then he's standing on the court waiting for KD after his media after the game ended. And it's just like, Doris Burke said, she goes, there's just a visual absurdity about this.
I heard her say that.
And, like, she's absolutely right. It's just, like, it looks ridiculous. Like, what difference does it make? And that's why I think everybody is really just deciding to come down on it now. Even I know Stephen A. Smith said, there is no reason now why Kyrie Irving shouldn't be allowed to play basketball. And, you know, like, Stephen A. is full, like, Kyrie should just get vaccinated, all this. But even Stephen A. is just like, yeah, like he needs – there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to play. And it's just like, I completely agree with Doris Burke. The visual absurdity of it is something like we've never seen before.
It's honestly like the NBA needs to get involved. I know the NBA made a rule you can't break city ordinances, and I get it. When like the beginning of COVID, I get it. During the Omicron resurgence, like in January, December, that range, I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's stuff that you could go get around it, but I get like why it wasn't really getting worked on. With the way the numbers are going down now, the science, the way unvaccinated way players can play, unvaccinated fans can come in, and how Kyrie could be at the goddamn game, sit courtside, be with the team at halftime, travel with them in practice, but he can't play those 48 minutes is ridiculous. This is a joke now. The Nets, like, this is like it's, we're almost like the final like 15 games now. And like, there needs to be some resolution with this. I don't know if Adams is ever going to come down. He's afraid of the lawsuits with like the people that he fired in New York City. But this point now is just, it's clear targeting and it's a joke. And if Eric Adams is not going to change, Adams ever needs to step in here. I know they're afraid of backlash with like governmental figures and politics. They don't want to get involved. When something like this crazy is going on and it's clear like how like insane that looks, I'm glad Kyrie went to the game. Like, I thought, I wasn't sure if he was going to do it or not, that we joked about, like, imagine he does that. I'm glad he did it, because like, one, it shows his teammates that he's all in, not that they ever thought he wasn't, but like, it just shows that like, it made it look so ridiculous. He was at the ACC tournament on Saturday, like supporting Duke because he's played for Duke, and he was there Sunday watching the goddamn team he plays for as a fan. Like, I think I don't think it's ever happened before. Like, that's probably the first in NBA history it's ever happened. Like,
yeah. Like you were saying, it is. And KD even said, it's like, it basically feels like somebody's trying to flex their authority and they want attention. And like, it makes sense. Kyrie sat courtside at the Barclays Center two nights in a row, but he's not allowed to touch a basketball in the building, but he's allowed to freelance anywhere else he wants. But it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm, like you said, I'm glad Kyrie went to the game, because if he doesn't go to the game, this isn't a talking point. And I feel like Mayor Adams doesn't really receive the message if Kyrie doesn't go to the game. So I think it was great that he went. Everybody in the Barclays Center was ecstatic to see him. It was like, literally when Kyrie walked in, it was like the game itself stopped for like 5 minutes, because everybody was just so amped that Kyrie Irving was in the building.
Yeah, the situation is just such a joke right now. Like, it's such a joke.
It should be worth noted saying real quick that Mayor Adams actually did a press conference Sunday morning, and at the end, someone yelled at him saying, "Let Kyrie play." And his response was, "Kyrie Irving can play tomorrow. Get vaccinated." That is what the mayor said before the game on Sunday morning. And his "get vaccinated" was in a very stern, kind of aggressive voice, in my opinion. But so that shows where he stands. I mean, I think it's going to come down to Adam Silver just letting the Nets pay the fine, because I just feel like Katie said, he seems like he's arrogant to me whenever I hear him talk, and he's just trying to prove a point at this point.
Yeah, they play against Orlando tomorrow, so I guess that's on the road, so he'll be able to play. But then after that, you have three straight home games against Dallas, Portland, Utah. At least for two of them, Dallas and Utah, you would need Kyrie Irving, you would think, at least to win. Like, they could, not saying they can't, but those are good teams. Like, I'd say Portland and Orlando, they could probably handle the business. But then you have two more road games, Memphis and Miami. Then you have four more at home. And then it's like, he only has like five games he can play in the rest of the year of the 15, something like that.
Correct.
He only can play at Memphis, at Miami, at Atlanta. That's it. So his last game will be April 2nd, actually. From April 5th, the Nets have five games left. Three are at home and one's against the Knicks at New York, MSG. So they'd be literally insane. From March 27th on, he'd be able to play in one game.
Yeah, I think that's what they said. Within the last nine games of the season, Kyrie Irving will only be able to play one.
Just at Atlanta, that's it.
Yeah. So, but the other thing is, I really enjoyed what Doris Burke said yesterday, talking about the visual absurdity and how ridiculous the whole situation is. Because now that's the national media that's chiming in on the situation here. And not like the national media hasn't done it all year already, but at the end of the day, the more big public figures that keep bashing your rules, there's got to be something behind it where, like, you think at least for a few minutes, like, yeah, like, maybe I should do something about this. This is actually ridiculous. I don't know. That's another thing, but I think, like you said, Cody, it's going to come down to probably Adam Silver if Mayor Adams doesn't get
doesn't get some sense knocked into him. Maybe my ratio on him this morning will help, but who knows?
Probably saw that. But yeah, I mean, it's not even arguing like, oh, the vaccination, like, should people get vaccinated? It's not even that. It's just everything about everything just completely contradicts itself, and it just makes no logical sense. So, like, no one's arguing, yes, most people feel he should get vaccinated, sure. No one's arguing that. Everyone's just arguing that the laws don't make any sense, is what it's come down to. That's why the Nets weren't publicly against it in earlier in the year, like November, December, or even October. They didn't say anything. They hoped something would change. The cases have come way down. They're like less than 2% or 1% in New York City. And it's not, none of that is even relevant to this. It's simply that the laws just don't make any logical sense.
Yeah. And one more, and I forget who said it exactly. It was some reporter, and I apologize for not knowing who it is. But they said you could absolutely be pro-vaccine and understand that what is happening to Kyrie Irving is fucking ridiculous. Like, and that's absolutely
not mutually exclusive.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't make any sense, and everybody sees it. That's the main issue.
One last quick point on this I want to make. Forgive me if I'm saying the name wrong, but once again, this is going back to the NBA is going to ultimately have to be the one to save the day, I feel like. I think it's Tamika Tremaglio, the executive director of the NBAPA, tweeted yesterday, "The nonsensical ordinance that singles out our New York City players is fundamentally unfair," which obviously the only New York City players it affects right now is Kyrie Irving. "Under this current rule, out-of-town athletes can come into the city and not be vaccinated, and fans can enter both the Barclays Center and MSG regardless of vaccination status. Yet New York City athletes have to be vaccinated to compete in their home arenas. If this rule is about protecting people, it just doesn't make sense. And the city of New York needs to end it immediately." So she is the executive director of the NBA Players Association. And then the official Twitter account of the NBA Players Association retweeted that tweet. So that is important, I feel like, because this union represents players, and the ownership and Adam Silver or whatever don't want to get on the bad side of the union. We saw what just happened with baseball. They almost risked missing the beginning of the season. Slightly different circumstances, but this is just another example of not only just the media, but the Players Association pretty much publicly coming out and defending Kyrie Irving.
Well, yeah, not to mention also yesterday, the biggest voice in the NBA, LeBron James, had something about it. He, like, the face of the NBA came out and said, "This is just ridiculous. Let Kyrie play." Like, I don't know, I don't remember the exact tweet, but he just said it's facts. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I've been saying it, but hopefully common sense wins. I got LeBron's tweet, and then we'll move on. So someone tweeted Kyrie being allowed to chill courtside and watch Duke play, and then watch his own Nets team play, but not being allowed to hoop himself is absolutely ridiculous on all levels of common sense. LeBron quote tweeted it, and he said, "Facts, facts, facts," in all caps. It literally makes, and then back to caps, absolutely zero sense. They say if common sense was common, then we'd all have it. Ain't that the truth? And then he has like the SMH emoji four times, and then hashtag free Kyrie.
He ain't lying.
Damn, I didn't see that tweet. Like, you guys just broke that to me. I guess I missed it yesterday.
Yeah, he tweeted it yesterday during the game.
That's insane. Yeah. And now, you know, like LeBron and Kyrie had their like own little business in Cleveland. Like, things didn't end well. Kyrie requested out. The fact that LeBron publicly has like stated that, and like even despite like all the issues they've had with one another, like when he said like, I think Kyrie made a comment like last year about like how he'd rather have Kevin Durant taking a final shot like the first time in his career. You think like with all that like stuff, like it'd probably hold him back from saying it. That's that ridiculous that he's still saying it.
Yeah.
Like, and say what you want about LeBron. I know we all like chatted him before. He like is very supportive of like everyone else in the league. So I do give him shout out for that. Like, he was very vocal about certain things. If like LeBron says something, it does hold a little more value than other guys, just how it is.
100%. All right, you guys ready to transition into actual basketball now?
Yeah.
So the Nets, as we're all aware, won their third game in a row. That's pretty good for the Nets. But before we go into the Knicks game, I just want to do a quick little standings update, because we're getting towards the end of the season. I think there's, what, 3 or 4 weeks left?
Yeah.
The Nets 15 games. 15, yeah. The Nets are 35 and 33. They are 2.5 back of Toronto for the 7th seed. But I'm not looking at the 7th seed. They're only 3.5 back of Cleveland, who is free-falling. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They obviously lost Jarrett Allen. Cleveland's schedule is brutal. It doesn't get any easier. They play the Clippers, who are solid, the Sixers, the Nuggets, and then they have a little break. They play the Pistons, who the Pistons are not as bad as everyone thinks. So they got some young guys that are hooping.
The second half Pistons have been playing some really good basketball.
That's what I'm saying. Then they got the Lakers. I mean, anything can happen when LeBron's back in Cleveland, because that game is in Cleveland. Then they got the Raptors and the Bulls again. So, like, their schedule is no joke. I believe they have, like, the 11th toughest schedule left in the NBA for strength of schedule. And Toronto had the 9th. So, like, getting out of the play-in is not out of question, in my opinion. I've been saying this. Even if the Nets don't get out of play-in, I think an ideal situation would be Cleveland 7 and Brooklyn 8.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. If Cleveland falls to 7, then we guarantee at least one game where we get Kyrie Irving in the play-in.
Correct.
That's a big thing, because if we're 7-8 against Toronto, we wouldn't have Kyrie Irving in Toronto. And then it's questionable if we have Kyrie Irving at home in the second game of the play-in if we lose the first game.
But Big 2 is the game we're going to, actually, us three, the game April 8th. Brooklyn is 2-1 on the season against Cleveland. They won in November. They won both games of back-to-back in November, and they lost on January 17th. So this would be this essentially would win the season series for Brooklyn. I know if they lose, it'd be 2-2, and I'm not sure what the second tiebreaker would be.
Division record, right?
I think it is.
I believe it's division record. But either way,
that's a big game. Like, you gain a guaranteed game on them, because, like, I think Toronto's won 3 games in a row during our 3-game streaks. We haven't caught up on them at all. But, like, if you play a team head-to-head, that you're guaranteed beating them. Like, this game against Cleveland would be huge. It's for multiple reasons. That's going to be a massive game for the Nets. Cleveland, the division. That doesn't show the division record. I'm not sure. The Nets are in the division are 9-6. Cleveland is 8-5.
So they're pretty much dead even.
Yeah, pretty much. So if we win that game, that's huge for us. No two ways about it. We need to win that game.
Absolutely. That's a massive game on the schedule. You got to circle that one. Just don't even worry about the second tie. You win that game, you gain a game, and you win the second. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree. So back to the next game. The Nets obviously would end up winning 110-107. I just have, like, kind of a crazy stat, in my opinion. the last six games between the Nets and the Knicks have been decided by a combined 24 points. So over six games, like 24 points is absolutely nothing.
It's 4 points.
And if you watch the games, like, they all go down to the wire. I mean, the Nets have been shorthanded in a majority of those games, like they have every other game. But the Nets have won all six. So they are 6-0 against the Knicks in the last six games, and the games are decided by an average of 4 points. And all I have to say is it really pays to have Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving on the floor, because that's when they take over in the clutch. And we saw it again yesterday. Kevin Durant was obviously incredible. He faced double teams and triple teams the majority of the night. The fourth quarter, they were blitzing him at half court with, I think his name's Jericho Sims.
Yeah, Jericho Sims.
Yeah.
They were just like, he wasn't even, he was literally at half court, and the guy was just sprinting from underneath the basket to double team Kevin Durant. Yet Kevin Durant still dropped 53. And the Nets needed all 53. Obviously, he hit the clutch three to give them the lead, and then he knocked down all his free throws at the end. My favorite quote from the entire press conference was Kevin Durant with Malika Andrews when she asked him about his performance. And Kevin said, "I didn't know Seth," talking about Curry, "was not playing until they announced the starting lineups," which was 2 minutes or 3 minutes before tip-off. They announced it on ABC. I know the beat reporters around 107 tweeted that Seth Curry was questionable with an ankle injury. So what did Kevin Durant do? His response was to come out, play 43 minutes, and drop 53 points in a win. Like, the man is insane.
And he was unguardable.
Unguardable. Like, best part of the game when he told Evan Fournier that he's tiny, too small. It was just
in French. He said it in French. Like, that is elite level trash talk. I didn't know it either until somebody pointed it out. He said, I forgive my butchering of how I'm going to say this, but he said trop petite. And like, he did like the little, like the, like put his fingers very close together, telling him you're too tiny. That I saw it on Twitter like an hour or two after the game. The fact that he said it in French is one of the funniest things I may have ever seen on a basketball court.
Kevin Durant loves beasting up Evan Fournier. Like, he saw last year in the playoffs against the Celtics.
Yeah.
Here all the time. Like, Evan Fournier is an awful defender, and Kevin Durant has let him know how bad he is.
And in the Olympics, too, he was cooking Fournier.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Three different teams Fournier's been cooked by him.
Yeah. I mean, Fournier is – so you can't defend Kevin Durant regardless. And Fournier is just a poor defender in general. I mean, the Nets attacked him in the playoffs against Boston when he was on Boston. So, like, bad matchup. But one last thing with Durant real quick. They asked him post-game in his presser about having to carry the load at home, especially without Kyrie and Ben Simmons. And his response was, "I told you all before, let me die out there." So you can really see the sense of urgency with the Nets that they've been kind of like preaching. Even the way Steve Nash is coaching, there was a point in that fourth quarter where he was screaming, like heated. I don't know who he was yelling at, but ABC was falling with the camera.
It was
like,
Drummond.
My man, it was Drummond.
Yeah.
I thought it was the ref across the court because of a call.
No, Drummond didn't follow up on something, and he got mad. I saw that. It was definitely Drummond.
I was watching the game with one of my friends, like, who's a huge basketball fan. He's a Knicks fan. I don't know why, but he is. Anyways, he goes, "Oh, I've never seen Steve Nash like that before," and like. Yeah. The Nets, he might be coaching for his job. There could be some speculation on that. And it's really like showing the sense of urgency that the Nets have been talking about is finally kind of coming out. Kevin Durant playing 43 minutes against the Knicks in a regular season game. Obviously, you want different circumstances. But even against Philly, like, they were just – I know there's a little added extra stuff into that. But they just look like a completely focused and different team. Bruce Brown was once again amazing. He had the game-saving play, which is crazy considering Durant had 53. You would think Durant did it. But no, Bruce Brown blocked the pass that was going to the wide-open Mitchell Robinson for a dunk on the Knicks' last possession, basically, where they actually had the ball. So Bruce Brown again, and I mean, there was just players contributing what they could while the Nets were missing their second, third, and fourth best player without Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, obviously Joe Harris, and Kyrie Irving. So I don't really have anything else to say besides Kevin Durant, thank you for coming to Brooklyn. Like, it's honestly amazing to get to watch him play every single night.
It's a pleasure. It really is. And I think that was a huge down in morale once Seth was ruled out. KD said, he goes, Seth's a three-level scorer. He's like, I knew I needed to step it up tonight. He's like, I didn't know he wasn't going to play, but I knew I needed to step it up. And that's exactly what he did. 53 points, just absolutely absurd. And like I said, with the morale going down, I feel like Kyrie Irving walking in and sitting down across and staring down the Nets bench. I feel like that really just put a lot of energy into the Nets. A lot of the guys, I mean, we couldn't make a shot without KD in the game to save our lives, but for the most part, KD just carried us to that win. And Bruce Brown, just an incredible play. Off the inbound, the Knicks had like 9 seconds left, and Evan Fournier in front of the three-point line in the corner goes to lob it up to Mitchell Robinson for a dunk to take a one-point lead. It would have been like 8 seconds left. But Bruce Brown swats it away. Nick Claxton saves it from going out of bounds, outlets up. Bruce Brown immediately, as soon as he tips that pass, runs up court. Nick Claxton swats it. I believe it might have been James Johnson that caught it, and then he threw it up to Bruce. Then it turns into a foul game. Nets win. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, like, honestly, I can't say enough about how well Bruce Brown has played since the James Harden trade. Like, I know I'm not referencing Harden, but I was just saying, like, it's been since then. He's been really great. He was a dead man walking. I remember the deadline. We're hoping anybody would take him because he fell off so hard from last year. But he's, like, even looking better than last year's Bruce Brown, because this year he's finishing better around the rim. He's shooting better from, like, range, at least, like, as a threat. Like, at least, like, make an open shot. And he's just playing with some energy on defense. And it's just so nice to see. He's been starting, like, I think, like 15 straight games. And he's honestly earned it. And even when everybody's back, I know probably Ben Simmons takes his spot. Like, that's his role if he does get back. Because it's kind of like, you can't really run both of those guys out there. And kind of Ben Simmons does what he does, but a little better. But he's really been something, Bruce Brown. He deserves playoff minutes. He deserves. I thought that there's no chance you see him back next year. I'd love to see him back next year. He's really stepped up. And then, obviously, Durant, they couldn't stop him. Like, every double team. Nothing you can do. And like, yeah, you said, no Curry, no Aldridge, no Harris, no Kyrie.
Forgot Aldridge.
Yeah, like a lot of guys, like, not playing. Durant needed to score 53. Like there wasn't really a lot of scoring options on the court besides like Goran Dragic and Patty Mills.
Yeah, and we couldn't really score without KD to save our lives yesterday, which is why I was pretty confused why Cam Thomas didn't play at all in the second half.
Yeah, that's a little stretcher.
It was a little confusing to me because Cam definitely provides that scoring punch, and Patty just had another off night last night, which we needed him not to have, especially with Seth out. So, I mean, it all worked out because Kevin Durant is just phenomenal, but got to be better.
You want to know something that's crazy? I didn't notice this. I'm looking at the box score right now. Cam Thomas played 8 minutes. He didn't attempt a single field goal. In his eight minutes. And like, this is no knock on Cam, but like, when he goes in, he makes sure he gets his shots.
Yeah.
Which is good because he's a prolific, like, talented scorer. But he didn't attempt a single field goal or free throw or anything in 8 minutes. That's shocking. I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still like feeling a little bit from his past injury last week, but I guess that you just do is when KD's on, just give him the ball.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Like, I think at that point, the minutes that Cam played, I think KD scored, like he was on a stretch of in the first half, he was scoring 27. So, like,
right.
So like, I feel like at that point, it was just, like, get KD the ball and get out of the way.
I'm surprised KD's career high is only 54. I think he would have finished yesterday 53. Like, I wish he broke his record. He has, like 60-point games. For some reason, he's always in, like, the 50-54 range. I think it's pretty low for, like, how great of a scorer he is. And that's right. He's never dropped, like, 60.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me too. I thought before the fourth quarter started, like, he didn't score for the first like 4.5 minutes of the fourth. And I thought he was going to go break D. Will's 57 for the Nets record. I thought that's what was going to happen. Yeah. But then KD got out to a slow start in the fourth. They were literally, as soon as he touched the ball past half court, doubling him. And credit to Jericho Sims, because he was all over the place on defense. He really was. Like, I mean, you can't guard Kevin Durant, but he did as good a job as helping defensively on Kevin Durant as I've seen anybody do in a long time.
I'm just telling you right now, real quick, Anthony, I know you wanted to say something. If Kyrie Irving isn't back to play this next coming week, obviously he can play in the next game at Orlando, but if he can't play against Dallas or especially Portland, I see Durant going for 60 in the Portland game. If they can keep it close. I mean, Portland is like, and we talked about this last episode, but they're horrible. They traded away their entire team. They have no one that can match up with Kevin Durant, like no one. I mean, most teams don't, but like, I'm just saying, if that game's close, I could easily see Durant dropping 60, or if they can keep it close against Dallas, who Dallas is on fire right now. So like, that game concerns me, but we'll get into that as it comes closer.
Yeah, it was a quick question for you guys. So like, I know it was like debates last week on Nets Twitter about this kind of topic. So like, they mentioned like who's going to go down as like your people's favorite. So I think no question about the best net of all time is going to be Kevin Durant. But like your favorite, like that guy is like the first guy you think of with the franchise. And I know some people would always be Jason Kidd because just like New Jersey days, blah, blah, blah. But this time as a coach and as a player, both kind of ended ugly. As a coach, he forced his way out to Milwaukee. As a player, he faked migraines and went to Dallas and like wanted to be out and really concerned the team. Do you think if Kevin Durant could get this team over the hump, like let's say like they do figure it out either this year or next year and they do win it all, or like they at least get to a finals, do you think Kevin Durant goes down as like the best net of all time in terms of like fans' favorites?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because like we were saying the other day, winning brings fans. And KD gives us the best shot to win and sustain winning for a long time.
And what sticks that he loves being here. He signed that extension without even certainty that James Harden and Kyrie were getting extended. He says he loves being here. He's always repping the Nets. He's talking about the fans at the Philly game, at the Knicks game, talking about how he loves being a Net, like all that stuff. Like it's just like something about that. Like I think we never had that. Even like with Darren Williams and like those other guys, they always like were like on board of being here, I guess. But like, it was never like, I love being here.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly might even, Kevin Durant's going to be honest with the best for 100%. I really think Kyrie is the most popular, though. I think the whole vaccine thing and him not being able to play is just boosting Kyrie's popularity. And I don't know. For me, like, Kyrie is my favorite player on the Nets. He has been. I mean, obviously, Kevin Durant's amazing. And I don't know. That relationship between the two of them is just my favorite thing to even see on the Nets. But I don't know. That's going to be tough. But one more quick question. Remember when you got when we were talking about the role players and what year we thought they were better? This was a while ago. And I remember we all were like, oh, the role players will probably look a lot different come closer to playoffs. And boy, were we ever right. I don't know why. I randomly thought of that. And I was just like, wow, like the Nets role players are insane now. When they're fully healthy, their role players are like, way better than they ended up being last year for the postseason. Like, way better. Not even close. And yeah, I guess that's what happens when you add, like, a Seth Curry and an Andre Drummond, who are really good players, and now they're, what, your fourth best player, fifth best player, sixth? Like, that just shows how deep the Nets are. And their role players, in my opinion, now are way better than they were last year for the playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. And I originally said last year's team, but I said I'm definitely going to wait to see how we look post-James Harden possible trade. And, definitely. You add guys the caliber of Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, that'll change the opinion for sure.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Like, this year's – now it's definitely this. That was, like, when we had, like, DeAndre Bembry, Javon Carter, or, like, some other guys. Now it's definitely a better group, 100%.
Yeah.
Also, prayers to DeAndre Bembry. He, like, tore his ACL or something the other night. I don't know exactly what it was, but he's out for the year. So, prayers to Bembry.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Just before we go on to our predictions, quick update on Ben Simmons, that Malika Andrews game gave before the game yesterday. She said, as for Ben Simmons, Sean Marks has said his team is still optimistic he will return in the regular season. So, I mean, no one really knows what's going on with Ben Simmons. Woj said earlier yesterday, it's been a frustrating process since the trade from Philadelphia. The hope is to continue strengthening that back, but they don't have a definite date or timeline for him yet.
Just make it April 8th for the Cavs. Just do it.
Realistically, I'm hoping the Nets can get, like, this might be asking for a lot given how the season's been going. I'm hoping the Nets can get like 5 to 8 games with Kyrie full-time and Ben Simmons playing. Yeah, and they can try to get a little bit of cohesion going into the playoffs with that 5 to 8 game stretch, depending on when that happens. But that would be my goal if everything goes well. So when does that bring us to? That brings us to April 2nd is the 5th to last game, which, I mean, if hopefully April 2nd, at least Ben Simmons is back by then. And that game's in Atlanta. So Kyrie could play as well for the last time, maybe. And then like the 8th were end of March. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see it play out. But let's make our pick. Against Orlando, I think I know where everyone's going with this, but Joe, you can pick first.
I'll take a win.
I'm also going to take a win. I mean, Philly almost didn't beat them last night after James Harden, Joel Embiid, the foul bros were luckily enough to make enough free throws because they did not shoot well from the floor.
They just went into OT with them, right?
Yeah, yesterday they landed OT with them.
Didn't they lose to Orlando?
No, they ended up winning.
Oh, damn.
It was ugly. It was ugly, but they won.
They won by 2. But yeah, so me and Joe both took a win. Anthony.
Can't take a win.
I figured.
All right. As the standings are now, I have 27. Cody has 22. Anthony has 21.
Oh, man. I can't. We can't catch this guy because now we're all picking the same.
Yep.
It's because it's out of necessity.
I know, but anything else you guys want to discuss real quick?
No, I think hopefully we get Aldridge back this week, like you said. Hopefully we get like some Ben Simmons and Kyrie clarity with at least like 2 weeks to go. But yeah, let's just win against Tuesday against Orlando and take it one game at a time.
Yeah, I'm good. Just keep rolling, Brooklyn. Let's go.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Cody, Anthony, and Joe. The Nets are on a nice little mini win streak at 3 games. Let's keep it rolling tomorrow in Orlando.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.